This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio. Today, I'm pleased to have in the studio with me one of the best investigative reporters of our day, Greg Palast. He's the author of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy and his latest book, Armed Madhouse, now out in paper with a new and highly relevant chapter on how the 2008 election is already being stolen right out from under us. Greg Palast, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Glad to be with you, Matt.
Let's talk about the big news story that's still around, and that is the firing of the U.S. prosecutors. To what extent was this a question of suppressing the vote?
It's the whole answer. That's not just the question, it's the answer. What happened is, in fact, our madhouse, I bring out a guy named Tim Griffin. So you have to understand, what's the only thing worse than firing honest prosecutors is putting in crooked ones. And no one's been looking at that so far. And while I was doing Armed Madhouse in the new chapter, I was going through Karl Rove's emails. He sends me his emails.
How do you get those emails? What do you mean he sends you those emails?
I don't think he intended to. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And he missends – if you mistype the email, it went off to places he didn't expect it to go, and they were gathered up and sent to me for analysis. We got 500 of those RNC emails.
But it's not like it's CC Greg Palast.
No. Actually, Mr. Rove has just a quick aside that – the House Judiciary Committee just blasted out some of Rove's emails from his released them, and several of them are complaints about Greg Palast. And one, though, however, February 7th, gloats that the U.S. media has ignored this British reporter, Greg Palast, and he was gloating about it, and he attached a PDF of part of our madhouse, gloating that no one's picked it up. So what you've now done, Matt, is you've broken the Rove Omerta. And so I'll see you next year in the progressive wing at Guantanamo.
He's one of your highest level readers then, more so maybe than some of the reviewers who ought to be giving this book more attention than they are right now.
Yeah, right on. But what I should say, besides the applause there, one thing he was particularly gloating about is the fact that for BBC television, where I report and in investigating our madhouse, in going through these emails, what we found was a scheme to eliminate hundreds of thousands of voters challenging their votes. And in particular, they were challenging – and by the way, they all had the same color or a couple of colors. It was kind of a rainbow coalition if you excluded white, natives, Hispanics, and blacks, Which ones were they challenging? Well, people with suspect addresses like Baghdad. Literally several thousand African-American soldiers are being challenged because they were voting from Fallujah or Baghdad or Germany. And how do they do this? Rove and his team sent emails, regular letters, thousands of them, millions of them. When they came back undelivered, they said, this is evidence of a suspect voter. When the soldiers, there was one guy, Randy Prowse, when he sent his vote back in from overseas, it was challenged. His absentee ballot was thrown out, and he didn't even know it. See, that's the whole trick of this. You don't even know it. Now, what does it have to do with the prosecutors? The guy in charge of this icky little scheme is a guy named Tim Griffin. On December 7th, they slaughtered these eight prosecutors, and in Arkansas, they named the new U.S. prosecutor Tim Griffin, the guy who is challenging the black soldiers. And the other thing you should know about this is, as Robert Kennedy, who's a voting rights attorney, said, you know, Greg, what you've got here is not just evidence of creepy tricks to wipe out black voters. This is against the law. It's a breaking rocks on the chain gang felony crime to target black voters. This guy Griffin, who is the perpetrator, is now the prosecutor.
Now, is there any way to go after him? Not probably under the Bush administration.
Well, I mean, it's the perfect – see, vote theft is the perfect crime, because once you commit it, you get to name your own prosecutors and judges. So here's the guy who actually fixed the vote. Now he's the prosecutor. So, I mean, how do you go after a guy like that? The U.S. Civil Rights Division, they're appointed by Bush. Now, there is another way to deal with it. In the new chapter of Our Madhouse, The Theft of 08, I lay out in quite in detail a very good estimate that they're going to shoplift 4.5 million votes in 08. We know that they took away 3,006,080 votes in 2004. If you're wondering how I got that exact number, well, I'll read the book. But 4.5 million votes. And so that just means, Matt, you're going to have to vote 5 million times. But we can overcome that. I mean, there's ways to do it.
No, well, one of the things I wanted to get to, what are some of those ways to overcome that? Let's just pick you up right there.
Okay. Don't mail in your vote. Do not go postal. People are worried about computer voting. They think that these dishonest, creepy guys who are going to fiddle with the machines will, however, politely take your mailed-in ballot and not lose it behind the file cabinet. They know where these ballots are coming from. And in Florida, they even put your voter registration on the outside of your envelope. And by the way, the number of ballots that they flush, they officially discarded over 500,000 absentee ballots last year. Over 500,000.
Without counting them.
All they have to do is decide. In fact, the mayor, one of the worst races was the mayor of San Diego. A Democrat won, who was the write-in. She was a write-in choice. But 5,000 votes, absentee ballots, were thrown out because while people wrote in the name of the candidate, they didn't check the box next to write-in candidate. Those ballots were thrown out, and the Republican was named the winner. So please don't go postal.
So you don't think people should send their ballots in ahead of time? You warn against provisional balloting.
Oh, yeah. This is another creepy thing. Look, if you're white, you probably don't know what a provisional ballot is. But if you're an African-American or Hispanic voter, you know what that is because that's what they hand you. You don't get a real ballot. You get this placebo baloney ballot called a provisional ballot, which is brand new from 2004. It's under the Help America Vote Act, which Bush signed. And, you know, when Bush tells he's going to help us vote, look out. And those ballots, there were 3 million handed out in 2004, 3 million, and 1.1 million were never counted. Don't accept a provisional ballot. Demand adjudication right there.
I'm speaking with Greg Pallas, the investigative reporter whose latest book, Our Madhouse, now contains a new and extremely disturbing chapter on how the 2008 election is being stolen right from under us right now, even way ahead of the casting of the ballots. You're listening to Progressive Radio. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. Suppressing the vote, the Bush administration claims as a justification for doing so that it's out fighting voter fraud. To what extent does voter fraud exist?
Yes, the Detective Clouseaus in the White House are hunting fraudulent voters. So one of the things I did in the new Our Madhouse is look for these fraudulent voters myself. There are 120 million voters. So I said, okay, fine. We had one character who said, for example, a Republican state senator, Justine Fox Young, that's really her name. She stood up in the New Mexico legislature and said, I have here in my hands the documents that people have voted illegally. One guy voting twice. In all of New Mexico, she found one guy voting twice. His name, I think, was Juan Gonzalez. Now, in New Mexico, believe it or not, there might be a couple guys named Juan Gonzalez who happened to vote. So I said, Justine, could you send me those papers you're waving McCarthy style? And she didn't send them. I said, well, if your fax machine is broken, Justine, could you give me someone who can verify these claims? She says, yes, the U.S. attorney, David Iglesias, is hunting these people and ready to prosecute them right now. I said, really? Give me his number. I called Iglesias, got his chief prosecutor, a guy named Norm Cairns, on the phone, and said, Norm, David, so you nailed him. You got Juan Gonzalez, huh? No. I said, you're investigating him. No. I said, now this guy's a Republican. He was an Ashcroft protege. I said, so are you saying that your fellow Republicans just made it all up, just faked this evidence, that they're waving fake papers in the hands? No answer. I said, I'll take that as, yeah, that they faked it. Unfortunately for Iglesias, Rove did read Our Madhouse, saw this, and Iglesias was the last name added to the gallows list for the U.S. prosecutors. That's what's happening. They were trying to pressure Iglesias and other prosecutors into bringing false prosecutions against voters, the purpose being, by the way, to create a hysteria that, one, to cover the fact that guys like Griffin and the Republicans are actually stealing the vote, but then blaming the Democrats and creating a push for voter ID laws.
And well, they succeeded at that.
And they succeeded in lots of states, including partly in New Mexico and in Arizona. Now, you have to understand what this has done. 300,000 people came to the polls last time that and were turned away because of wrong ID. Places like Little Texas, you had white Republican county clerks who were telling young Hispanics, we don't like the color on your driver's license or whatever. And they were turned away. 300,000 people. Now, is that a massive vote fraud? Is there a crime wave of 300,000 illegal voters? No. They just decide this is a good excuse to turn you away. It's the new poll tax. It's the new – it's just like the old literacy test, anything to blockade you from voting. So 300,000 votes were lost that way, almost entirely in minority areas. By the way, the statistic is 88% minority turnaways, 88%. Now, how does Karl Rove turn 300,000 votes that he flushed into 1.3 million votes in the next election? Voter ID laws. But you can always use your passport. And you know how many kids in the barrio have just come back from their ski trips in the Alps with their passport. Right.
So I mean, this is a point that you make, Greg Pals, that it's not just discrimination against people of color, but it's a class-based thing. The people who have their passports are going skiing in the Alps. You know, they tend to be the richer people in this country.
Well, you know, it's... My chief investigator is skiing the Alps as we speak, so I have to be very careful, and I don't pay her spam. but she's Swiss, so she's entitled. But yeah, look, this is class war, baby. When I did the demographics of the votes lost, the provisional ballots handed out, of course, the badge of poverty in America is color, skin color. But when I did the analysis, it was all based on income. If you live in a mobile home and forget it, let's not forget, I have the whole new chapter on Katrina. What about the Cajuns? What about the working class Catholics that were just literally washed out of the city? So you know what they call a Katrina survivor who can't return to the city?
What?
A Democrat.
And I've talked with African Americans who worry about elderly African Americans who weren't born in hospitals. They don't have they're born at home. They don't have official birth certificates, much less a passport.
Yeah, forget it. So, you know, that's just part of the game. But remember this provisional ballot stuff. And see, we're always shooting ourselves in the foot. Okay, so we get hysterical about computers, so we mail in our ballots and they throw them away. We get hysterical, like I did the story for those who, you know, who don't know Greg Pals, you're tuning in, who's this maniac? I'm the BBC reporter who, you know, busted the story about how thousands of African-American voters were flushed off the voter rolls in Florida in 2000 while Gore was running, and accused by Catherine Harris of being felons, and their only crime was voting while black. Well, okay, so the black caucus got so shaken up that they said, we need a way for people to vote if they're listed as felons. So it was the black caucus that came up with the provisional ballot, and then something really horrendous happened. Karl Rove said, what a great idea. That should have been the immediate hint that.
And then there's something else, Greg Palast, in the, I think it was in the same law, the Havilah that now gives, and I just found this out reading your last chapter in Armed Madhouse, that secretaries of state now have even more power than they did before to unilaterally throw someone off the rolls.
You don't have to prove that you read the book. I trust you, Matt. yes, the secretaries of state who are political hacks and hackettes. The Havilah, after Catherine Harris flushed all these people, what happened? The new law said, okay, we're going to take powers away from the local county boards, and we're going to give them to 50 Catherine Harrises. And unfortunately, see, the problem is there's too many Democratic Catherine Harrises who are more than happy to get this power. The problem is, Democrats, when you allow anyone to play games with the votes, you lose.
So let's get to... who's behind all this in the White House, and what kind of culpability is there, not only in the prosecutor scandal, but in the evidence that the Justice Department has been systematically trying to suppress minority vote turnout?
Look, there's a Mr. Big. You can't just hang an attorney general. Remember when Richard Nixon was nailed on Watergate, the first thing he did was he took his attorney general, threw him out there, a guy named Kleindienst, and famously said, let him twist slowly in the wind. So, you know, they give us Libby's, they give us Gonzalez's, there's always this, they always have a guy who will walk the plank for Rove, walk the plank for Cheney. And let's not forget that there is a commander in chief who is commander and thief of the whole game. He may pretend that he was missed school that day, but he knows exactly what's going on.
And is this another impeachable offense, in your opinion?
Well, you know, Bobby Kennedy, you know, was saying, you know, it's a crime, it's a federal crime, and it's conspiracy to commit a felony. He says, you know, what else do you want? I mean, you know, I was one of the people that brought the Downing Street memo to America, and I called it, you know, impeachment time. When you know one thing and you say another, that's a fraud, that's a crime. You go to prison, or if you're in office, you have to skedaddle and change into pinstripes.
Yeah, there's the Downing Street memos. There's the illegal Iraq war in toto. There's the torture stuff. There's the NSA spy, and there's this Justice Department thing, among others.
And of course, Katrina. That's one of the things, you know, also in the new book, which, I mean, one of the evil things that I was finding when I was investigating what really happened at Hurricane Katrina is that I discovered that the White House was informed a good 20 hours before the levees broke that they were about to bust. This is no joke. I got this from the head of the Hurricane Center at Louisiana State, who is also operating the evacuation plans out of the state police center. And he said the White House knew the levees were cracking open, and they didn't tell us. They knew, and we didn't know. And they'd stopped evacuating New Orleans because, you know, Katrina never hit the city. It went east. So they, you know, they let people basically – I said, so what's – you know, what's the bottom line? He said 1,500 people drowned. I mean, this guy, by the way, Ivar von Heerden, I want to mention his name because when he loses his job, he's really put himself on the line to give me this info. He was very circumspect, but then he just couldn't – he was – frankly, he was near tears on this. He said, you know, because he was in charge of trying to get these people out alive, and he said the White House withheld it. Also, you should know that he told the White House 2 years early. He made the point, by the way, that in each case it's the White House, because in all times he was in contact with senior officials at the White House, that they knew that the levees were 18 inches too short and that they could not withstand a hurricane of a storm surge of this size. He'd actually showed me the computer models that he'd sent to the White House, and he showed – you could see this like in full color, the whole city drowning. This was created before the hurricane. They did nothing about it because the Army Corps – Clinton started fixing this. The Army Corps was sent to Mesopotamia where they could blow up and rebuild and blow up bridges again.
This is criminal negligence that led to mass manslaughter.
And that, willful, yeah.
Yeah, willful criminal negligence. I'm speaking with Greg Palast, author most recently of Armed Madhouse. It's got a great new chapter on the 2008 elections. Greg Palast is the guy who busted open the Florida scandal with Catherine Harris and how she excluded 58,000? How many?
Yeah, well, it turned out 92,000. In the end, we started adding it all up. The state had to fess up to that one. But that's the problem is that, you know, these reports, like, well, Karl Rove is right when he's gloating that the U.S. media doesn't pick up my stuff. I mean, you have to understand, even in the Florida voter purge story, which I ran from BBC in Britain and The Guardian within weeks, Al Gore was still in the race. You know, the Washington Post, where they did give me a byline, but 7 months later when Bush could read it from the White House. But, you know, look, the book is not just about the voter theft. That's, you know, two of seven chapters. But, you know, it's the whole game, and that's the whole point. In other words, it's all this stuff, investigative reporting, which we don't do here, which is stuff you're not supposed to know. All these things are concealed from you. Each one of them, in a way, each chapter is like an impeachable indictment. I used to do racketeering cases, and to me, it reads like five criminal indictments, simply because you cannot say one thing and know another. Lying is not just a bad habit, something that you know, your mommy told you not to do in school. You know, it is a crime.
Why isn't there more investigative reporting going on here in the United States?
I'm in listen to me, you know, like Rove calls me that British reporter. I'm in exile. You want to lose your job quick? You know, my colleague Cy Hirsch, flushed out of the New York Times. Bob Perry, who broke Iran-Contra, flushed out of AP. You want to lose your job real quick? Just do investigative report. And, of course, Dan Rather, one of the stories in the book is, you know, the story of how – the real story of how Bush got out of the war in Vietnam because Daddy did the fix. I ran that story on BBC. Rather repeated it. He lost his job. We have not retracted one comma on that story. And what I've added here, which is important to what's going on today in the news, is that – a woman named Harriet Myers was in charge of making sure that this was hushed up, and it cost millions. Of course, it wasn't paid by the Bush family. It was just arranged to be paid. millions to keep quiet that George was a draft dodger. Now, who did the hit? Who did the hit on the prosecutors? Harriet Myers with Karl Rove. It was Harriet Myers who engineered the whole thing. And people wonder why this woman was named by Bush to the Supreme Court. They said, who the heck is Harriet Myers? She's the bag lady. She did the payoff. She does the hits. Read it.
The thuggery is amazing, and anyone who wants to find out more about it should read Greg Palast's Armed Madhouse. I want to talk a little bit more about the 2008 predictions mm-hmm. and your advice. One of your pieces of advice is for all of us not to focus so much, get so obsessed about black box computers.
Because if you do that, they've got you. See, because that's not the only game in town. Now that is a game. For example, Catherine Harris, her seat was saved by the Republicans. They supposedly won by 350 votes in Sarasota, not counting 18,000 votes that just went.
This was in November 2006.
November 2006. I mean, they ate 18,000 votes. And if you look at the precincts, it's all Democrat. You know, come on, it's all Democratic. It's such a joke. I mean, they literally just zapped the votes. It was that simple. Now, yeah, we can't have black box voting. But if you think that that's the game and then you go hooray and you're done, forget it. You got 3 million people being challenged. Okay, that's one. You got 40% of new registrations being flushed. You think that is – there's 7 million unregistered Hispanic citizens. Forget about the undocumented worker issue. 7 million citizens. You think that brown people don't know how to register to vote? They fill out those forms and then – and they throw it in the bucket and they drop out the bottom of the bucket because 40% of all registrations these days – this is brand new under new law – instituted in 2006 are being thrown away because citizenship cannot be verified. Well, there's no, we're not the Soviet Union. We actually don't have these files to verify citizenship. So the government's failure to verify means you're shafted and you always have a vowel at the end of your name.
Greg Palast, one of the things you point out in this book is a fact that rebuts some kind of lazy racism on the part of a lot of white people in the United States who think African-Americans, Latinos, they don't bother to show up to vote. They don't bother to register to vote. You have evidence to refute that.
Yeah, it's simple arithmetic. What I did is I went back into the elections agency's information. The black registration is the same as whites if you put back the black voters whose registration was rejected. Black voting turnout as a percentage of registered is the same as whites if you put back those people whose ballots were flushed, like this soldier Randy Prouse who had his absentee ballot flushed away. Okay, is he a non-voter? No, they threw away his ballot, guys. He voted. It just didn't count. So there's a difference not in turnout but in vote count by race. And like I said, race is really the obvious factor, but it's income.
And who is fighting this disenfranchisement, which should have been illegal – you know, after the Civil War, certainly should have been illegal after the Voting Rights Act, 1965.
Well, there used to be a Democratic Party that would take on these issues. But but now, there are lots of activists. That's the one thing. I mean, there's a lot of hope here. I mean, there after a screaming fight in New Mexico, voting rights groups really passed a law that banned black box voting and all the rest of it. I mean, and they beat back most of the ID laws and all that. So it's much better because there was a tremendous outpouring and heat on Bill Richardson, who wanted to run for president, and he thought he'd run for president then on the fact that he was starting a spaceport in New Mexico so he could be the first spaceman president. But the voters said, you better clean up this voting act because the election was stolen not just in Ohio in 2004, but, for example, in New Mexico. Bush supposedly won by 5,900 votes. 30,000 votes weren't counted, almost all those out of the native Pueblos, who are Democrats. There's no such thing as a Republican Indian. Don't write in if you're a Republican Indian.
Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse. Is anyone in Congress doing especially good work on this?
Yeah. John Conyers. Of course, he has so much heavy lifting. He's doing so many of my cases at once. He actually just confronted Bush in the White House with the story I just did. Out of the book about the vultures, these guys, speculators, who are literally sucking up all the debt relief from Africa, money meant to pay for AIDS medicines. Bush's donors are actually sucking up the AIDS medicine money, and people don't know this, but Conyers was so upset he actually went into the White House, into the Oval Office, and confronted the president nose-to-nose with my report. And, of course, George Bush did his deer caught in the headlights, I didn't know this stuff, and, you know, And the usual line, I'll take care of it in a week. Gentlemen, that was months ago.
Does Conyers have any hope of getting legislation through that would do something? Of course, Bush would likely to be vetoing it.
No hope of legislating our way out of this mess. We have to overcome it by out-organizing and putting pressure on. And there are some, you know, also making sure the Democrats understand that they do not benefit from voter scam. And unfortunately, too many incumbents of both parties believe this is how they were elected. They're not exactly excited about a lot of these.
Same thing with campaign finance reform, of course. They know how to game the current system. They don't want to change the current system.
Exactly. And you know, look, you know, everyone's crying, you know, as I talk about the New Orleans section of the book, everyone's crying about New Orleans, but there is no constituency to really get the money there, you know, at, you know. That's one of the big problems.
So there are some groups, though, some activist groups and some groups of activist lawyers who are doing some good work suing on some of these invasions.
Absolutely. People
from
the American Way, Bobby Kennedy. These are people, bless them, who are supporting the Our Madhouse tour as I'm running about. And it happens, whether the politicians like it or not. Bill Richardson was put up against the wall to sign that Voting Reform Act and now is the big, proud daddy of voter protection.
Greg Pals, you know, a lot of people who may be listening to this or who may be reading your book up until the very last few chapters, last two pages may say, well, you know, they're going to steal my vote anyway. The system is rigged. Why should I even bother to show up at the polls?
Well, I have a little extra section, a little bonus to the bonus chapter in the new Our Madhouse is steal back your vote. Yeah, this is an old story, guys, man. What do you think? You just invented it? There's fighting for centuries over the vote. First of all, 1776, so we could get the darn vote in on this continent. And then this from suffragettes to the abolitionists, even eliminating the poll tax in 65, reducing the voting age during the war in Vietnam so that you could vote before you shoot. These battles have been going on a long time, and it's two steps forward, one step backwards. The people lead, the politicians follow. Nothing new.
Is it possible to vote at an unstealable margin?
Yeah. Well, in 2006, we saw that actually about 2 million votes were shoplifted in the 2006 midterms. There are six, I could name right off the top of my head, six congressional races that the Democrats actually won, but the Republicans took office. You have to overwhelm them. Big deal. So they're only going to steal 4.5 million votes. Get over it. Stop crying. For God's sake, Matt.
What else can people do?
Tell the truth on them. One thing I've done that's really weird for a New York Times bestseller is to say I'm not copywriting it. And literally, I want you to take the vote theft sections, how to steal back your vote, send it around. You know, go to the website, just steal this section on stealing back your vote.
This is Abby Hoffman. Steal this book.
Yeah. Well, no, I just, you know, the info's got to get out and tell the truth. But you also have to educate people on why the regime must change, which is, you know, the rest of the topics in the book from, you know, Iraq, New Orleans, war on terror, and the rest.
Well, you can educate yourself on it if you're listening to this show by getting a copy of Armed Madhouse, From Baghdad to New Orleans, Sordid Secrets and Strange Tales of a White House Gone Wild by the inimitable Greg Pals. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Hey, Matt, you're the best.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by MUFA. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.